So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. You've heard this before. It's been said that there's two subjects that you should never talk about in polite company, right? Religion and politics. And that's why this morning we're going to talk about religion and politics. Okay. But before we get started, you know, just as an aside, have you ever considered this? It's a failure of our culture that we can't talk about religion and politics. A failure of our culture that we can't raise these subjects without ripping other people's heads off. We should be able to talk about religion and politics intelligently, politely, respectfully, but we can't, right? Because if you think about it, there's no subjects that are more worth talking about than religion and politics. Because religion is about what's true and false. It's about what's good and evil. And about how we should live our lives as a consequence. And politics is about how we should order our society in respect to what we believe. It's too bad. It's a failure of our culture that we can't talk about religion and politics. We know the entire subject is occasioned by the gospel that we just heard, and Jesus, in what's perhaps his greatest one-line sermon ever, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. Would you believe this entire thing is occasioned by one single coin? I wish I had this coin. I would hold it up right now and show it to you. It was a Roman coin, and the coin was called the denarius coin. And if you looked carefully at that coin, you would see a profile of Tiberius Caesar. And written around the periphery of the coin, around on the outside, it said, "Caesar Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus." Flip the coin over, and it said, "Pontifex Maximus, high priest." Now, the Jewish people hated this coin. Two reasons why they hated this coin. Number one, it was blasphemy. Coin said Caesar was God. They detested that. But the second reason they hated the coin is they were forced to pay tax to the Roman government using that coin. If you were a Jewish person living in the time of Jesus, four taxes you had to pay to the Roman government. Four taxes. Number one, 10% of all of your wheat goes to Rome. Number two, 20% of your oil. Now, this is olive oil we're talking about. This is pre-OPEC, okay? Number three, they had an income tax, an enviably low 1% income tax. And number four, smallest of all, but most insulting of all, you had to pay the census tax, or they called it the tribute tax. You had to pay this one denarius coin to the Roman government just for the privilege of breathing and walking around, right? Jewish people hated it. They hated it so much that it brought together two historical enemies, the Pharisees and the Herodians. A little bit of background again on what you just heard. Pharisees and Herodians. You think of them as political parties. They were polar opposites, mortal enemies. On one hand, the Pharisees, religiously devout, strictly traditional and resolutely determined to be independent from the Roman Empire. On the other hand, the Herodians, as their name suggests, faithful to King Herod, the puppet king set up by the Roman government, and all they cared about was power. And so naturally, they got along with the Roman government because they cared about power. And they were religiously, let's just say, flexible. If something got in the way of their pursuit of power, and that something happened to be their religious beliefs, well, they would just bend their beliefs to fit. Hated each other. But you know, they say politics makes strange bedfellows. They hated Jesus even more. And so they got together, and they descended on Jesus, just like a pack of reporters descending on a candidate for political office, which, with what they believed was the ultimate gotcha question. Should we pay the tax or not? Gotcha, Jesus. Gotcha, because whatever Jesus says, he's trapped. If Jesus says pay the tax, he just lost the support of the people who hated the tax. But If Jesus says, don't pay the tax, well, then he's an insurrectionist against the Roman government. The very best that he can hope for, is to be imprisoned. So they figure, you know, they slap each other high five, smack each other on the back, and say, we finally got Jesus trapped in a box. You know better than that. You can't trap God. And so Jesus takes charge of the argument, turns the entire conversation on its head, and says the last thing they'd ever expect to hear, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Let's take a look at that statement a little bit more carefully. First of all, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Ever since Jesus said that, ever since our divine founder gave us those marching orders, Christians have been able to live peacefully in almost any government in the world. And Catholics in particular, in spite of the fact that we have a history in this country of anti-Catholicism, Catholics have been good citizens. Why? Because we're rule keepers, right? Tell us what to do, we do it. That's what Catholics do. Catholics have understood that government has its sphere of authority. It has its sphere of authority. We're supposed to obey just laws, supposed to pay your taxes, and you're all going to hate me for this, but we're supposed to respect office holders. Doesn't mean you have to like the guy, okay? But understand, we believe authority comes from God. I will explain a little bit more about that in just a second. But because all authority comes from God, anybody who wields authority does so with God's own power. That's why we should be careful never to be disrespectful of people who hold public office. Never be disrespectful. We Catholics do not believe in theocracy. We do not believe that the church should be running the country. We don't believe there's any kind of divinely instituted government that we should all be striving for either. Would you believe this? Ever since the days of Pope John Paul II, it's been forbidden for priests to hold public office. So if your priest tried to run, so for so much as dog catcher for Loudoun County, right, he'd get smacked down by his bishop in a heartbeat. We give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But we give to God what belongs to God. Now, if you could hear Jesus say this in its original context, I wish you could, because this is what he actually said. He said, give to Caesar what bears Caesar's image, and give to God what bears God's image. And what bears God's image? You do. A direct reference to the book of Genesis and the creation account. In the divine image he created them, male and female, he created them. We give to God what belongs to God. Caesar has claim to your respect. Caesar has claim to your obedience of just laws. Caesar has claim to a paltry piece of metal, right? But only God has claim to your soul. Do you know what that means? That means that all authority of the government is necessarily limited. You cannot give your unquestioned authority to any merely human institution. In any time down, make a study of history and tell me if this isn't true. Any time down through history in which the church and the government have been too cozy, almost always it's been because the church has betrayed its mission to ingratiate itself to power, to keep its position. There are exceptions, there's always exceptions. But for the most part, Caesar and God have always been in competition because the subject matter has always been about power. The authority of the government is necessarily limited because all power comes from God. Now you hear that and you think to yourself, wait a minute, that can't be true. Could have sworn I learned somewhere back along the line that a Declaration of Independence says that supreme authority comes from the consent of the governed, right? Authority comes from the people, doesn't it? Not absolutely it doesn't. I mean, it might when the people are godly, but God help us when we're not. If authority came from the people, that would mean that a majority could determine right and wrong. It would be right just because the majority wanted it. If you ever doubt that position, I would refer you to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., letter from a Birmingham jail, in which he quotes Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine in making the point that all worldly office holders are beholden to a higher authority, and that right and wrong cannot be determined by a popular vote. Now, once you realize that, it leads to a very, very politically unpopular conclusion. Namely, that all politics is ultimately about religion. Here's why. Because religion is about what's right and wrong. It's about what's good and evil. It's about what's true and false, and it's about who says. Politics bases itself on that, in the pursuit of the common good. You can give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but please understand, you cannot give to Caesar what belongs to God. There's a number of conclusions that draw from this. Number one, it means that separation of church and state cannot mean that you separate your faith from the rest of your life. Because if you understand what it is that you believe, and if you believe it, it's part of who you are. And for anyone to tell you that that belief has to remain within the walls of this church, and that the moment you walk out those doors, you leave your private opinions behind, well, that's sort of like telling a married man that, you know, you have to leave your marriage within the privacy of your home because, you know, that's your own private business. Tell a man that, he's not going to be married for very long, is he? No. It means that democracy does not mean that we shut up about controversial issues. It doesn't mean that we shut up. It means that we speak up, right? Respectfully, intelligently, but without apology. Because we understand something very important for the common good, the solutions to our deepest problems don't come from the right or the left. They come from above. You know, back in the 4th century, there was a heresy. Heresy was called Pelagianism. Long story short, Pelagianism said there's no original sin and that you can get to heaven by your own good works alone. You know, God's a little bit of a help to you, but it's basically all up to you. It's a heresy. We said, that's not true. Trouble is that heresy never really went away. It just kept rearing its ugly head. In a modern interpretation of that, it's people who believe that if we just concoct the right laws, right, just get the right policy, get the right leaders, we'll have heaven on earth. Not true. Please don't misunderstand. Good laws matter. But the requirements of what justice demands are constantly shifting. That means we're constantly in pursuit of justice as a goal. We never quite arrive. We need the guidance of God to help us to find it. We need to be rooted in our faith to help us to acquire it. It's the understanding that we serve our country best when we remember that we're citizens of heaven first. And it means that we pray. So I thought we could end with a little prayer, shall we? Okay, ready? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, your Son told us to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Enlighten the minds of your people. Help us to choose leaders according to your will, to respect the sanctity of unborn human life, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of marital relations, the sanctity of the family, and the sanctity of aging. Strengthen us to listen to the voice of your Son, who told us to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to you what belongs to you, through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.